There is new wine. Yes. There is new power.
I subject myself to thee, Lord.
There is new freedom. The kingdom is here.
I lay myself on the altar for you to
make. I lay down my own face.
Whatever you want to do.
To carry your new fire today.
Jesus, I surrender to you. Say, I surrender to you, Lord. I surrender to you, Lord. Today, I surrender to you. Today, I surrender to you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' mighty name of prayer. Thank you, everyone. You can have your seats. Hallelujah. Good afternoon, everybody. So good to, I think I'm echoing. So good to be in front of all of us. Happy to see everybody. And I just want to say that it's a very big privilege standing in front of everyone. It's a big honor, big opportunity. And I'm grateful to the ministry team, grateful to Pastor Kenny, Pastor Iwande and everyone on the team, and to all of you guys as well for sitting down to hear me. So we had Pastor Remo give us a powerful charge, right? He said there are things that we have to what? Give up and what? And fill up, right? How many of you did that list? Did you do a list? Did you draw your own list? All right, that's good. It's good though, you need it too. You know, it's different from New Year resolution. You are not just, it's not that this, it's not a giddy that you want you to enter what you wrote down. You know, what you wrote down, it's going to, the change is going to come by the Spirit, right? You know, Bible says that with men, things like this are impossible, but with God, it is possible, right? So there's nothing that you wrote down that's not possible. There's nothing you can't let go of, do you get? And there's nothing you can't take on. Right? There's nothing, trust me. No matter how long you've struggled with it or how long it has been a problem, there's nothing that you cannot let go of. So I'll be bringing us the word today. And I've titled my... Go out to help us. Father, we ask you for all trance and understanding in the name of Jesus. All right. So yeah, I'll just go right in. So I titled the message Come Alive. Right? So you can title, you can either Come Alive or Back to Life. Right? So let's open our Bibles to Psalms chapter 139. So Psalms 139, I'll read from verse 23 to 24. Are we there? If I dare say amen. All right, thank you. So verse 23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Amen. Okay, it's on the screen, right? Okay, so New KJV says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. I know what? Let's read together. I know my..." All right, next verse. "And see what? And lead me in the way everlasting." Amen. All right. How many of us have come across this scripture before? You've read this scripture before? Okay. It's a good thing. It's no, I don't have to explain it too much. So before I go into the scripture, let me just there's a story in the Bible, right? Also about David wrote this psalm, right? And there's a story about David, a very interesting story. One that's not as popular as the one that we are familiar with, right? Many of us know the story of David and Bathsheba, right? You know when David, when his army went to war and decided to stay back at home, right? And he fell into temptation, right? He saw a naked woman, Bathsheba, having a bath. People have always joked that, why did they call her Bathsheba? That there's bath inside her name. So maybe that's why. But he fell into that temptation, right? And he asked for them to bring her to his palace, right, or to his room, and he slept with her, right? Someone who was not his wife, okay. And I think most of us are familiar with that story, right? And but there's another thing that happened after that story, which many of us might not be really familiar with. So after that story, God came to David, right? Now, David had committed a major sin, but it was so funny that David did not even know. Or like, he wasn't even... I stand to be corrected, but let me say, I don't know if he felt remorse over what he did, right? Because the actions he kept on doing, kept on taking and taking. After he slept with the girl, he heard that her husband is on the battlefield, right? Then he called the husband back home, said from the battle, called him back home and said, go to your wife, just forget about the war, go and relax your wife, go and chill with her, go and enjoy. So his plan was to allow the man come back home, get relaxed, and you know, sleep with his wife so that hey, if anything happened, no sense, Abi. So if anything happened, it's not my hand again, you know. And there was no DNA test there, you know. So David watched his hand like that. So that was his plan, and her husband, Uriah, came back, and unfortunately for King David, Uriah was one of his most loyal soldiers, and said, I would rather die than go home. You know those kind of prayers? You know, have you heard of, what's his name? Is it John Knox that prayed and said, Lord, give me Scotland, or I die? All those kind of fire prayers. So Uriah said that, and said, no, my fellow soldiers cannot be fighting on the battlefield and I'll be at home enjoying. You know, so it's better I die. So David said, okay, that die that you say is better I die, you really died. You know, and David took him to, said they should place him at the front of the battlefield, right? Where the war is really strong, you know. I think one of these medieval films one time, I watched it and there was the way the general was explaining their strategy was that when they go into battle, the first people they send, that those ones are not really, they don't really count them as anything back home. Do you get? They just send them to go and die. Like they're not, the plan is not to send them to go and win. You just send them, oh yeah, people should go and die. Do you get? So the first people that go, they are just, they call them cannon fodder. You know, they are cannon. They are the ones that cannon used to hit, very arrows, everything, you know. Just go and die. So they put Uriah in the WhatsApp group of just go and what? And just go and die. And Uriah happily went and happily died. And David was vindicated. He felt he was vindicated, right? That there's nobody to accuse me again or to fight me that, you impregnated my wife and I was serving you, right? Just man is no longer there. But what David didn't know was that there was another judge in the mix, right? And that judge was God, right? And which is what this scripture says, that God is a searcher, right? David himself was one that wrote this scripture. I don't know whether he wrote this after he slept with Bathsheba or before, right? Well, you see that David... Let me not go into that. We can go back to verse 23. Amen. Are we together? Are we following so far? All right. So verse 23 says, search me, O God, right? And know my heart. So it means that God is a searcher, right? It means that God can see the things that you are not seeing. Do you understand? Now, do you know that after David did all of those things, right? He slept with a woman, right? He called her husband home and tried to, like, deceive him. That's sin too, Abby. Tried to deceive him to go and sleep with her. Now, He didn't agree. Sin three, he now told them to put him in the battlefront. He committed murder. That's three powerful sins in one. Do you know that after those three things, you expect that David would rend his clothes or tear his clothes and put ashes on his head and sit down and cry and say, God, I've done it. I failed you. But honestly, David moved on. Now, it took a particular prophet. God had to send a prophet, right? The name of that prophet is Nathan, right? God had to send prophet Nathan to David. And prophet Nathan came and told David a parable, you know, and told David that, no, there are two men in Israel right now, and one is very rich and one is very poor, right? The rich man has a lot of cattle, a lot of livestock and all of that. In today's world, maybe we see a lot of cars, a lot of houses, right? And he says the poor man has only one lamb. Only one lamb. That's a female lamb. They call it ewe. Not a will. It's ewe. It's pronounced ewe. So the man had only one female lamb, right? That's the poor man. So Nathan was using this to tell David, because he's not to just go into the king and say, King, you have sinned. You shall die, you know. Maybe if it's Elijah, Elijah would do that. Elijah does not send anybody. But Nathan had the wisdom to tell David that you are God, that God has found you wanting. So he said that parable and said, so he said those two men, right? The rich man had a lot of livestock. The poor man had just one lamb. And one traveler came from another country and came to Israel and went to the rich man and asked him to give him one of his rams or one of his sheep, right, to kill so that he can have something to eat, right? Now, the rich man disagreed and said, I can't give you one out of my thousands of livestock. But rather, there's one poor man, one place. He has just one, right? And I will go and take that his own. It's like he doesn't really know the value of it. So I'll go and take it and kill it for you, right? So that will be your food. So that was what the rich man... Nathan was telling David all these things, right? As a parable, right? And guess what David did? David became mad. Not mad as in crazy, I mean, became angry. He was boiling hot. He was like, who dares to do that in this kingdom? In this my kingdom where I'm king? Who would dare do that? That person must pay, and he will pay times four. Yes, David was saying all of this, right? And Nathan told him that, Your Majesty, sir, Your Majesty, unfortunately, I'm sad to tell you that you are the one in this parable. It wasn't until then that the eyes of David opened and saw that I have sinned against God. Now, I was thinking about it this morning, about when a Christian backslides. It's one of the most difficult things to tell, especially today. Who a backsliding Christian? You know, many of us, you think you know, but you don't even know who a backsliding Christian is. The lines are very blurred. Very blurred. It's not the person that goes to club and goes to party or that is smoking. That one is not a backsliding Christian. That's a sinner. That's an unbeliever with a seared conscience. Do you understand? This conscience is not sending him. But a backsliding Christian will most likely still be even attending church. You know, Demas was a backsliding Christian. Some of us might know of Demas. Demas was one of the disciples that followed Paul on his journeys, on his missionary journeys, right? And at some point, Demas had to leave Paul, right? And Paul said, the reason Demas left me was because Demas loves this world, this present world. Now, that is the definition of a backsliding heart. A backsliding Christian. It's the love of the world. And you see, the love of the world is not even necessarily sin. It could just be a weight. Paul was operating here 100%. Demas felt, why are we killing us? Let me kill Jesus. Demas said, it's 20 I can do. And he was justified, he felt justified by it. Right? And he didn't sin, no, he didn't do anything wrong. It's just that maybe the way Paul was, maybe Paul used to say some things like, let no man trouble me, for I bear my body the marks. They must hear those kind of things, like, which marks? You and who is carrying marks? So they must did not want any part in that kind of life. Paul's definition of Christianity, for Paul, the only way Christianity could work was that Christianity had to be intense. Do you understand? It's Paul that will also say, I fight not as one that beats the air, right? I fight to win the prize. Do you understand? Paul says those kind of things. I press for the mark of the upper call in Christ Jesus. I press towards the prize. No, Paul says those kind of things that will make you feel like, is Christianity fight? Are we fighting? Can't we just, let's just smile and love Jesus, hug your neighbor. Everybody, are you fine? Say, Jesus loves you. All right, smile, you know. Can we not just do Christianity like that? But Paul saw that Christianity is war. It's fight every day. It's still Paul that will say, I wrestled with beasts at Ephesus. Which beast? Which beast? Which Christianity are you doing? No, Paul's Christianity was so firebrand that even Peter, the rock, the head of the church, was writing in 2 Peter chapter 2 and said, there are some things that our brother Paul writes. It's difficult to understand. That's Peter that led everybody on the day of Pentecost. Peter that spoke and 3,000 people said, I will follow Jesus today. Peter said, "When this Paul is different." I'm here to tell you that if you are going to be a Christian, it's Paul's kind of Christianity you should do. If you are not doing it, then there's something wrong. So Demas left Paul because he loves the world. And the love of the world is not, I love girls, or I love prostitution, or I love watching porn. That one, you are now sinning. You are now a sinner. Right? Maybe you are watching porn, or you are masturbating, or you are fornicating and all of that. That one, you have gone. Demas was not doing any of that. Demas did not just want to follow Paul where he was going. And Paul said that he has forsaken me. He loves the world. Now, many times, many of us get to that place and we don't even know it. We don't even know we strayed away. Your affection used to be for the Lord, used to be on fire. Your devotion, you know, your Bible study, your coming to church, you know, your punctuality and all of that. They used to be top notch. But those things can wane and you don't even know. You know, Christianity is like the way a fan works. Right, it's different from a light bulb. For a light bulb, once you put it on, it's on. But for a fan, it takes time to build, right, till it reaches its highest. And it also takes time to die, right? That's how Christianity is too. No, Samson was dying and he didn't even know. So David here had committed 3 grievous offenses. God had to send a prophet to come and tell him that you have sinned. So which is why he wrote that scripture, Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Do you know why God has to search you? You know, he says, search me, right? We would think when he says search me, he's talking about me. Like, you see this me like this, that you're seeing like this in front of you. This is not me. This body that you're seeing is not me. This body is a camouflage, is a disguise. That's why when you want to pray to this body, it will be disguising. Can disguise. You tell, I'm tired now. I'm sleepy. You know? The real you is inside. He says, search me. But when he says, search me, the person that God searched was his heart. So the real you is that heart. So search me, God, and know my heart. God has to search us. Why? The heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? That was what the Bible says, right? So you see this, your heart like this. it can be very mischievous. It can be very tricky. You can say I'm serving God, right? You know, the Bible talks about people that call upon him with their lips, but their heart is far away. You can say I'm serving God and you are not. One of the places in the scripture that scares me the most was where some disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, we have casted out devils in your name. We have healed the sick in your name. We have raised the dead in your name. And Jesus' response to them was, depart from me. You are a worker of iniquity. Now, how does someone call you Lord and you still say, no, you are a worker of iniquity? It scares me. Makes me assess myself every time. Makes me ask the Lord to search me every time. It makes me do a heart check of myself every time. And the truth is that all of us know when our heart is waning. We all know. I even feel David knew too. He just, the heart will just say, no, oh, Allah, let me just move. Let me just go. God will understand. God understands. Are we together? So God has to search our hearts, right? Don't worry. I didn't plan for the message to be sad or to be, even though it's good, a little sadness is good too. Sadness from the inspired by the Holy Ghost of soberness, sobriety. Are we together? Let's say amen.
Amen.
So David wrote and said, search me, right? And know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And when you see any wickedness in me, you lead me in the way everlasting, right? Wickedness there is not that you used to keep people and eat their flesh. That's not the wickedness, you know? Wickedness, we have misunderstood wickedness. We have misinterpreted wickedness. Wickedness is there's a wickedness of the child of the devil. There's a wickedness that is a Christian that is not following the leading of God. Because Jesus died for you, right? And you accepted him at first, but now you are rejecting his leading. Now, God considers that as wickedness, right? So, the theme of our fast, which is in the line of what I'm speaking, and I really hope that all of us are fasting. And like Pastor Raymond said, if you have not started, just try and join in, right? Because God wants to really deal with our hearts. He really wants to touch our hearts, right? He really wants to get us back on track, right? So, and one of the ways to, and you see this searching that happens when you pray this prayer, you know, sometimes I think about it because I ask God that, I ask myself that, do I really want God to search me? This thing is not just faith confession. It's not just memory verse. This thing, you see this prayer of search me. You see that next one of try me. Do you know where try came out from? Try is the root word of trials. So you are telling God, God, you can send your arrows. Send it. Let me see whether I really love you. This I love you, I'm saying. This cry that I'm crying during worship, let's see whether it's real. Test me, Lord. Test me, I'm ready. That's what you're telling God. This, you don't get to this place if you are not ready for what's next to come. Majority of Christians never get to this place. Majority of Christians will live on a very average levels and will make heaven. But there's more. And that's why we are fasting. That's why we are praying. Do you get? That's why we are asking God for a revival. Wait first, before the one of all the teenagers in Ojodu, we enter here and then we say there's revival. Like the one that happened in the US one time, one university like that. People were just trooping in from different states, right? And it was broadcast everywhere that there's a revival going on in this place, right? There are some revivals that will be televised. There are some that won't be televised, but are even more powerful. You will not hear it on the news. But it's more powerful. What is happening here, what's happening in these 21 days is a revival. God touching your heart, God speaking to you right now, God telling you what to change, what to give up, right? And what to what? And what to fill up is a revival. And you responding to God, you being broken and saying, God, I can't continue this way. I've been slack. I have to be intense. That is a revival. So don't wait until maybe physical mantles are falling on people's head or the angels are flying all around the room. And they say, ah, man, the glory cloud is here. No, now that you are resolving in your heart that this thing I'm doing is wrong, the glory cloud is already here. That's what I'm saying. And this place, you go here by yourself. When you say, search me, God, you go there by yourself. You are the one that brings yourself. It's like you are coming, you are like Isaac that's coming to the altar. Do you think Isaac did not know that Abraham wanted to kill him? That his father was going to kill him today? You think he didn't know? At least I've heard from the pastors over me and from theologians too, that Isaac was, I think, in his teenage or so, or whether in his youth or so. So maybe in his 17, 18, or maybe in early 20s, when Isaac was going to kill him. Now, that kind of person, Abraham was, remember, Abraham was not a young man. Abraham was old. Do you know that kind of small boy can be stronger than Abraham? Do you think he can overpower Abraham? I say, which rope? You had the tying rope on my, when the others was that? And you just collect the rope, just tie Abraham and say, you are the one that the Lord has chosen for such a time as this. Do you think that cannot happen? Isaac could have very much over. Isaac knew that was not the first time Abraham was taking Isaac to go and sacrifice to God. That's why he asked that question. That, Father, we usually take ram now. We usually take all these things. We know how these things go. Abraham said, the Lord will provide. Look, immediately he said that he knows his father. He knows, this man. I've been expecting this today. It's today. Immediately, father said, the Lord will provide. Let's move. He said, it ends today. Isaac knew. And Isaac went. You know, the Bible says Abraham had faith that God could raise Isaac back up to life if he died. Isaac too had faith. I don't know what he had faith for. But I believe that that faith inspired him so much that if he's to die, I will die. So you see, that resolve that Isaac had is the resolve that each and every one of us must have. You must get to that place where you say, God, today is me and you. This thing ends today. Am I the only one that will be sinning every time? Am I the only one that cannot love God? Am I the only one that will be carnal in my unit? Everybody knows me that, don't give her prayer to lead. Don't give her prayer to lead. Give another person. So it's coming to that place where Paul spoke about in Romans chapter 12 and said, Romans 12, 1. I'm trying to remember the beginning of the scripture. I beseech you, right? Thank you very much, right? I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Now, this was Paul, but is he still the same Paul? You see, this Paul, is still the one. He said, he say, I beseech you. That beseech, maybe it's big grammar. It's like, just picture Paul kneeling down. I said, I beg you. This is a matter of life and death. You need to taste of powers of the age to come. Don't just be a nominal Christian. Go further. Challenge yourself. It's another 21 days again. This church safe. We fasted last year. We're fasting this year again. Me, it's only till 12 I can fast too. Once it's 12 like this, no, I'm not hearing anything again. Once it's 12, my food must, just give me food. Once it's 12, some people can fight if they don't eat by that 12. Is that not something to cry about? That God, their friends, see, Let me tell you, the major reason I got filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, they used to tell you, you want to get filled with the Holy Ghost, desire it, you know, ask the Lord for it to come. I got filled because I was angry. Back then, my church, where we used to grow, we had a teens church like this. And we had a prayer group then. We called ourselves Shackles Breakers. Koinsola was in that group too. We called ourselves Shackles. Shackles what? You see that we're not yet to play. You hear a prayer group that's called Shackles what? Uh-huh. It's not like this one. Oh, Lord, thank you. 5 minutes, we are done. Shackles. We never printed flyer once in that. But teenagers were coming, pouring in. At some point, they were not good, yeah? At some point, we even had issues. Yeah, John Joshua knows that group. So, the reason I got filled with the Holy Ghost was because I was angry. That in that group, that Shackles Breakers group, because there were some teenagers there, permit me to use the word mad. I don't know what's wrong with them. They were not okay in the spirits. They were, Now, there were extremes to it, which eventually spoiled a lot of things, but because we didn't have wisdom. We're just young. We're just zealous. We're just zealous. Somebody will come and tell you that, yesterday I was going to cook, and then there was no kerosene, and I used water, and I cooked my indomie. Now, I did not frame that thing I just said. Like, somebody told me, actually. Yes. Imagine somebody that has testimony. There was no kerosene. And I just poured water. I just used my faith. I just poured water and cooked noodles. It's like, what are we doing in this place, God? At some point, I heard about one very young, but I don't know how old he was then, whether he was 8 or 9 or so. But I heard that probably gave a word of prophecy to an older woman or whether to a married woman and all that. And the prophecy was very accurate. It was 100%. And I was already 17. So I went to sit down. I said, these boys that are doing this, they are 9-year-old, 10-year-old, 12-year-old, 15. I'm 17. So that was what made me get filled with the Holy Ghost. It was not desire. It was violence. This thing, I will have it. That resolve, we need to get there. So I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Right? So these bodies you are presenting is what David was talking about in Psalms 139. Search me, God, and know my what? Heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Those two things, the heart, the thought comes out of the mind. The heart and mind, they are the bodies. No, you can go back to Romans. The heart and mind are the bodies that Paul is now telling you to present as a living sacrifice. So what is he saying? He said, like Isaac, come and lay it at the altar and just lie down. So you are the one that will come to the altar. You are the one that will, you know that Don Sienko song, Gabi? Leave me at the altar. Say, you are the one that will lie down on the altar. You will take rope and tie yourself. They will not tie you. You will tie yourself by yourself and lie down. Say, oh yeah, God, burn me. Amen. I have very few minutes left. Yeah. So when you do this, right, you do this as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That's your reasonable service, right? And the next verse says that talks about the renewing of the mind. So do you now see that mind thing there? So the end goal of it is that your mind will be renewed, right? Now this is what happens for you to have, like, this is what revival means. This is what revival means. Huh? Is that you get to a point where you let everything, you surrender. And say, God, just do anything you want to do. Jesus Christ explained it better in John chapter 12, verse 24. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. So there's a debt. And when I say debt, don't be afraid. I'm not talking about physical debt. It's the same thing Pastor Raymond said of give up, Abby, and fill up. That's the dying they are talking about. Otherwise, you keep living in denial. If you don't ask God to set you, there are things inside. Do you know there are intents inside of you that you don't know you have? Some of you, the way that intent will manifest is with the right amount of money, or with the right kind of job, or the right kind of relocation. You know that Shackles group? Sorry, I'm going back there. I had friends that were really on fire. But the moment some of them relocated abroad, it was not greener pasture. The pasture was not green. You see intents. You see some ways that you can dress that if they are told you when you see it's with tight scarf, you rebuke the devil. You see some kind of drinks on your table, the Azul, the Calypso, all those kind of things. You see the hair. You see someone that used to prophesy. You know, in that kind of company. So there are intents inside us that we can only know if we ask God to search us. That's what revival is. That's what we are fasting about. Before you fast for power, wait first. There are things that you need to take out. See, if that power rests on that thing inside you, it will destroy people. Ephesians 5, from verse 14 to 17. Are we still together? All right, Ephesians 5, 14 says, therefore he says, right? Awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. 15. See then that you walk circumspectly or carefully, right? Or wisely. Not as fools, but as wise, right? So this is talking about after you have allowed God to set you, you now have to walk. There's a kind of walk you have to walk. You now have to be careful how you live. So after this fasting period, it's not after the fasting you now go back and say, Where is that my chicken? This nice we consume every morning like this. It's not, you are not going back to old ways. You are not going back to your vomit. You are not going back to what you left. It's that you are dropping it and you are moving on as a new person. So redeeming the time because the days are evil, right? Now, this time that you are redeeming is time that you have lost already when you were loving the world, when you were not intense. You were losing time. So, but now you can redeem it, right? Last verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Can we say amen? Amen. Are we following? I'm sorry if it might be a bit boring to you, but so when this happens, right, God will now come in. When you bring yourself, remember I said it's a personal thing. Like you go by yourself. Your parents don't take you. Your parents' salvation cannot help you here. My daddy is a pastor. He doesn't work here. Do you understand? My mom is an evangelist. He doesn't work. He doesn't get you to God. You go by yourself, right? So when you go by yourself, God will now revive you. That's the revival. That's our theme, Abby, of this fasting. God will now revive you. We're going to see an example of what the revival is in Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel 37. Read from verse 1 to 11. All right, are we there? So Ezekiel 37, okay, thank you. So Ezekiel 37, verse 1 says, let's be with me, right? Let's be with me. This, I really want us to focus here, right? The hand of the Lord, this is Prophet Ezekiel speaking or writing here. The hand of the Lord came upon me, right? And brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. Now, this was like maybe a vision or a trance, or whatever you want to call it. So, a spiritual experience that Ezekiel was going through. And God was trying to tell him something. And God brought him to a valley that was full of bones, skeletons, right? Dry bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. Indeed, they were very dry. Now, these bones, just imagine these bones as the bones of an actual Christian. Because you see bones here, you think that these are bones of bad people. That's why they are bones here. That's why they are dead. No. And we'll see that at the end. These bones are actually bones of Christian. And the Bible says that these bones were very dry. So meaning that these guys were unhealthy Christians. And God said to Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? You know, some questions God asks you. It's wise not to answer it. It's wise. It's wise. If you go and say, I know Bible. It's not me that used to do draw your sword that time, children church. If you go and use draw your sword knowledge to answer that cross question, you just realize that the next 5 years is a dealing that God is trying to use to show you the answer to that question. That God can use 1 year. God used my whole NYSE year to teach me one thing. Like, it was, all right. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, oh Lord God, you know. Just tell him back, like, you are the Almighty, the King of Kings, the hand that I am, the Kadishkem, the over-Ezeli. Just tell him, God, you are the, you that know. I mean, my hand is not in this thing like this. Because you're going to look at the dry bones with your physical eyes and say, Lord, never. Never. It has implications. Do you know what I just said? It's what Peter did. God brought unclean animals from heaven. Same thing, same trance, same spiritual experience. Peter, right, skill and it. Peter, that they pick from boots. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Peter. God, forgive me. Because there are cloud of witnesses everywhere. You should not go and punish me. But Peter had the mind to tell God not so. Do you know what it means to tell God no? Jonah did it. They lodged him for 3 days inside the fish stomach. Jonah, just take 3 days. For Peter, it wasn't that short. It cost Peter his opportunity to be an apostle to the Gentile nation. That was the implication for Peter, saying not so. He told God no. In the mercy of God, because God will still do what he wants to do. Cornelius still came to his house. I don't know if you know that story. Cornelius still came, Peter still went with him. Holy Spirit still moved. In fact, the Holy Spirit didn't even wait for Peter to give altar call. He said, while Peter was speaking, the Holy Ghost fell on Cornelius. Because Peter can still be thinking like that. Can Holy Ghost really still fall on these people? Holy Ghost don't wait. He fell on the, that's how the Gentile, that's how all of, that's why all of us are here. You don't know. Cornelius was like the, most likely the first Gentile fruits. Stands to be corrected. But anyway, the point is that Peter said no, right? And it cost him something great. That was why Paul came into the scene. I have a feeling that if Peter had said yes, Paul might not necessarily do all what he did. Because Peter did not agree that they said, okay, let's bring Paul. He brought Paul in. So Ezekiel was wise. Ezekiel says, God, this question is you that know it too. And then God said to him, that prophesy. So God said, prophesy to these bones, right? And this is what we are going to be doing to our own dry bones. Because they are dry bones that must rise today. And they will rise today. We prophesy to it. Eh? You see the devil. You see, you know, there are some prayers that you pray it violently. I'm not even talking about here. I'm not even talking about, you might pray, you might not pray. Do you understand? But talking about, there's some places that you pray. Let me give an example. I don't know if I meant to give it, but there was a day I was praying for. Somebody called me, and one of my friends called me, and she told me that her brother was dying. Okay, sorry. She told me that her brother was dying, her younger brother. So her younger brother was a twin, right? And one of the twins was dying. I don't know why it's me that, I don't know what she saw in me that it's me that she called. I was like, where have I gone into in this life? That somebody is dying. Isn't it fake they are calling? Which kind of setup is this now? Amen. So maybe because while in school, because we attend the same school, we used to have like a prayer group. And maybe because I used to lead, I used to teach. Maybe she now, this person can do something about. I was shocked. That's me, you know. So she called me that day, and the brother was really dying. He had gone, you know. And she said, my brother is, and the funny thing was that she called me. She didn't call me normal call. She called me WhatsApp call. Like, how is somebody dying? You are calling, okay, you think that somebody can help, and then you are calling with WhatsApp call. That was already in the night. I was already about to shut down. The only way I used to shut down when I want to go, maybe when I want to go and sleep, when I want to go and pray. Airplane mode, off this one, off the small one. I will block everywhere. So I was about to do that. Thankfully, she called before I put up my data. So she said her brother was dying and all that. The whole family, I could hear the voices in the background and everybody was running up and down. And I was already tired. I wanted to sleep. So I said, let me pray. I didn't know what to do. I didn't have faith. Then I just said, let me pray. So I was praying. Oh, the feel a couple stuff. You know that prayer when you are. Sleep is also on your agenda, but you just want to pray. So I just, then at some point, the Holy Spirit told me, spoke to me. It was as if the Holy Spirit wanted to, as if wanted to fight with me. He said, this is where you are praying now. He said, if you don't pray well, this boy will die. Eh? The thing is like, the rank bell inside my head. Bam! I said, okay. I started praying, As I was praying, I don't know what got into me. I started praying, and I started as if the demon or the spirit of death was. I pictured him in front of me. I started praying, and I was boxing like this. I'm serious. I started praying and boxing like, hey, what was I saying? I was like, take your hands off. Take your. That's what I was saying. Inspired, as I was inspired to say, and thankfully, it's ended well. So, but what I'm trying to say is that there is that violent resolve that this ends today. I'm fasting so that this will end this year. So prophesy to the bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Let's move. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you. So this is what the Lord is saying to us, right? I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 7. So I prophesied, and as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. That dead bone, that thing that you think cannot change, it has ears, oh. It can hear, oh. And it will hear today. There was a noise, and suddenly a rattling. So everywhere began to shake, all the bones began to shake. And the bones came together, bone to bone. It. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. So they wanted to do agidi that, okay, maybe I will find masturbation, I will leave, but pornography will still be there. You know, they wanted to do half deliverance, right? So bones came together, but there was no breath. Verse 9 says, and God said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on this slain that they may live. Verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet. Now, that was not the end. Dead bones, forgotten, lost, dejected, written off, became an exceedingly great army. So you are not child's play. I'm here to tell you that you are not child's play. You are not a joke. After this period, after this season, after these 21 days, you will come out an exceeding great army. Only you, one man, will be able to take a whole class. Like your classmates will just be directed to you that this is the person that has help. This is the person that has solution to everything we need. They will just gravitate to you. Be one, why are people bringing this issue to me? They want me as ulcer. What's my business? You say, just pray. Just do anything. You will pray and things will happen because you are now operating as an army at that point. An exceeding great army. An exceeding great army. You will speak. Muslims in your class will hear. You will speak. It happened to me in year one, my very close friend. Bolu was a Muslim. He used to have, I don't know what he had on his, whether, I don't know whether asthma or so, but his eyes used to tear up. He would just start crying. In university already, this is still happening to you. Me, I was not trying to be anointed or anything. I was just being normal. And it was just happening one day. We were waiting for a class, and he was complaining about it. And I said it to stop. I just said it. I was not praying. Bolu said amen. Muslimo, he said amen that day. It shocked me that. Amen. Yes, exceeding great army is now speaking. So it's no longer the you of 2023, of December, of last week. When you come out of here like this, you will speak, things will change. That issue in your family that you think, they said it's generational. No, exceeding great army. If there's a generational issue, there is an exceeding great army for it. So God said, the Son of Man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Can you see that? The bones from beginning that you think that this bone, who even killed all these people? He said, it's the whole house of Israel. Those bones were Israel that was dead. Israel was dead. Israel was drying up. But Israel can still be an army. You can still be an army. You can still be great. You can still be called. You can still be anointed. Your brain can still be hot. You can still have oil for knowledge, for greatness, for brilliance. You can still have it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Finally, I'll just end with two scriptures. 1 Corinthians 2. First Corinthians 2 from verse 6 to verse 9. So, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Verse 8. Which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. 9. But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Right? So this scripture here was talking about, let's go back to verse 8, was talking about Jesus. Jesus was the house of Israel they were talking about in this scripture. Right? And the enemy thought that he had left him for dead. You know, just the way those dry bones were in that valley. The enemy thought that, I've killed Jesus, game over. But they said that none of the rulers of this age knew. that if they had known that killing Jesus will produce millions and billions of Jesuses after on, would have not made that mistake. They didn't know that they were fulfilling prophecy for God. Devil was a tool, he was a pawn in the hands of God. God was playing chess, and devil was happy to get, I'm catching one person. But God said, I just use you for my overall move in the end. I have a final move. Is all of you that are here. You think it's just Jesus? You think you just kill Jesus? Jesus will not be in everybody that is here. Let me now see how you kill all of them. Exceeding great army. That was God's plan all along. Exceeding great army. If they had known, they would have not tried it. That sickness that they brought to you, if they had known, they would have not tried it. Because when they brought it, that was when you started to pray. You started developing a prayer life. You said, this thing will not remain with me. Because of this thing, I'll start attending daily prayers. Because of this thing, I will start praying by 5 a.m. I will start trusting the Lord. I will start speaking words of faith. I will receive my healing back. The devil thought sickness would take you out. No. If he had known, he wouldn't have tried it. Is it accident? He should have not have tried it. Is it a loss of a family member? He shouldn't have tried it. Were you raped, molested, harassed? He shouldn't have tried it. He tried it with Joyce Meyer. Today, Joyce Meyer speaks. People around the world, their hearts burn as they hear. She was raped now. You see, I've forgotten the story by her father. Right? He shouldn't have tried it. There's an exceeding great army coming back. If he had known, he wouldn't have done that thing he did to you. He wouldn't have made you fail that exam. He made me fail once in my one in school. You think increased my prayer life? Failure increased my prayer life. I'm just trying to tell you that you are not disadvantaged. We'll read one final verse and we'll just wrap up from there. But I believe that God is already moving amongst us and God is already reviving our hearts this afternoon. Colossians 2, verse 13 to 15. This is the final scripture and I'll just close. My time is already gone. I'm so sorry. Colossians 2, verse 13 to 15. And you, right? It's talking about you. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So he said, I don't care what you sin, though. I don't care what you did. Huh? He said, my sin is very great. God can never forgive me. He said, go back. Sorry, 13. He said, being dead in your trespasses and in your circumcision, he has made alive. You know, see, he's bringing you back to life. That's what I was saying at the beginning. You are coming back alive from whatever had put you down, whatever had troubled you, whatever had been an issue for you, a weight, a burden, a sin, a struggle. He said, now he has made you alive together with him, forgiving you all your trespasses. Next verse. Having wiped out. I like that wiped. It's careless. He doesn't care. It's a careless remover. He wasn't careful in doing it. He wiped it out. The handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Everything you did, every mistake you did, everything you are struggling, they said it's not in you. It's on the cross. You have to see and believe and agree that it is on the cross. Final verse. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Do you know what that means? Jesus was crucified, right? He was buried. When he rose up, he went into hellfire. The Bible says that before he ascended, he first descended into the lower part of the earth. And he took the keys of hell and death from the devil. But that was not where he stopped. He said, okay, devil, you and all your demons, that day, there was a parade in hellfire. God said, everybody come out now. You know how they parade criminals, right? They strip them naked. He said, all the demons, now you will be stripped naked. Now pass in front. Let everybody that you have troubled see you. So there was a parade that they said, it made a public spectacle of them. It was like a market square. He brought them out. He said, okay, all of you, I'm going to embarrass you today. You've been troubling all my people. I'm going to bring out everybody from hell. I'm going to bring out all the prisoners, all the spirits in prison, and I'm going to bring them into freedom. So he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So everything that has troubled you has been made a public spectacle. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you very much.
You can go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Shall I keep playing? Keep playing. Chiso, come on. Come on, stand here. Come on, stand here. Just... Face me, but let's move back. Sorry. Amen. Amen. You know, I'm going to give us to rededicate our lives to Christ. If there's anyone here that is not born again, or if if you're born again and you want to rededicate your life to Christ, I'm going to give us an opportunity. But before that, let me explain one thing. Let's go to Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. Amplified. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. Now, Paul here says that, or rather, Paul here is urging. In other translations, is I beseech you. You can also say it's like he's begging. Let's turn amplifier, please. But he's speaking with emotion and he's saying, please do this thing. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Dedicate all of yourself to God. Set yourself apart. Why is he begging? Why didn't he say, I'm instructing you? Why didn't he say, I command you? Why did he say, I beg you? Now, let us quickly go to Ephesians 5, verse 25. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Seek the highest good for her. And surround her with a caring, unselfish love. Pastor Wendy, can you please come and stay beside Chisholm? I want you to pray for her, but not yet. Husbands, love your wives. Seek the highest good for her and surround her with a caring, unselfish love. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. 26. So that he might sanctify the church, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word of God. 27. So that in turn he might present the church to himself in glorious splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But as she would be holy, set apart for God and blameless. Now stop here. Now we see here that Jesus Christ wants to marry somebody. Tabi? And the price he paid was his life. Amen. You know, it's like, I don't want to joke, but you know list now, traditional marriage list. Abi? You know, some people's list, like now Yoruba people, they don't really stress people like that. You know, compared to maybe Akwa Ibom. Right? You know, some list is millions of naira that you would have to pay to marry somebody. Or, let me not use list. Let me use, you want to take a girl out and you want to toast a girl. And the girl says that my standard is that you will take me to the most expensive restaurant in Nigeria. Okay? And I'm like, okay, I will do it. I will do it. I will do it. And then you will pay the money. You will carry the girl out. When it's time to get married to the girl, the family will come and say, you have to buy goat for every member of this family. You know, that's how they do some people. If you say, okay, I will do it. My mother-in-law, rest her soul, she's passed on now. She said we should buy gold watch for her. Huh? Now, imagine you now do all of that. You now do the wedding ceremony. The girl says, no, I want wedding in Dubai. I don't want it in Nigeria. Huh? And I say, okay, we'll do wedding in Dubai. We'll fly out your whole family. You know? You'll do the wedding. Then on the day of honeymoon, everybody will do wedding, pastor will come, bless everybody. Then on the day of honeymoon, the woman will now say, actually, I don't love you. Eh? I'm not going to have sex with you because actually, I don't love you. Go back to that Romans 12, verse 1. Now, if you paid such a price for a wife, and the woman is now giving you that kind of attitude, how are you going to feel? Huh? Not terrible. You want to do your own back. So Paul now says, I'm begging you. Huh? This is why he's saying, I'm begging you. The last part, it says, it is rational. In NKJV, it says, is your reasonable act of service. Meaning that if, as a Christian, you don't present yourself to God, you are being unreasonable. Amen. So, a Christian, the logical thing for a Christian to do, when we say a Christian has sense, what we mean is that the person is presenting themselves wholly to God. What we mean is that the person is keeping himself unspotted from the world. It is your reasonable act of worship. Any other thing is unreasonable. Hallelujah. And so we're going to pray. Huh? We're going to pray. And we're going to ask God. Do we have TPT? Enela? Do you have TPT? Do we? Can we go to Proverbs 25? Verse 4. You can start now. Proverbs 25, verse 4. Now you remember that Jesus Christ wants to present this bride to himself. Huh? He wants to present this bride to himself. Meaning he wants this bride to be as beautiful as possible, which is your life, which is you. Now, how it can happen is in this scripture. And if you burn away the impurities from silver, a sterling vessel will emerge from the fire. Hallelujah. Can we read this? 1, 2, go. A sterling vessel will emerge from the fire. Don't be distracted. Can we give Indifrega a second mic? I want you to lead us in prayer. Don't be distracted. Can we read this verse? 1, 2, go. Sterling vessel. A fantastic vessel. A valuable vessel. But what needs to happen first? Burn away the impurities. So you can ask God for the fire to burn away every impurity in your life. Are we together? You can ask God for the fire. You can ask God for the fire. About 2 days ago, I was praying, and Jesus told me that there is so much I want to do. That's talking about us. More specific, the women of this church. There is so much I want to do. But they need to consecrate themselves. Us to pray. There is so much anointing, so much power, so much grace, so much favor. Let's rise up. So we're going to pray. And please, I want you to pray. I want you to pray. I want you to pray. You know, Jesus, God wants to there is a level that for you to get to needs to be a cleansing. It needs to be a cleansing. You see, the Lord has called you. Can you hear me? The Lord has called you. And He needs to cleanse you. So I want you to open your heart to receive the fire from God. So Pastor, we are going to come and help me. Just be beside and just, you can let me just hold your shoulder or something, you know. Where's the infirmary? All right. So you can just stay there. You can just stay there. All right. So let us pray. Let's say, Father, before we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. No, don't worry. Father, let your fire fall upon this vessel now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Let your fire that cleanses. So can we begin to pray? Let's ask God for the fire of God.